Maslow says one of the higher functions of self-actualization is to learn to become independent of the good opinion of other people. Hello, this is Richard Kuhns of the Stress Management Institute, welcoming you to Building a High Level of Self-Esteem and Self-Worth. First, let me say that it's possible for someone to have a high degree of self-confidence and have little, if any, self-worth. For instance, one can have confidence in how to earn a living, but have little, if any, self-worth. By the same token, one can have a high degree of self-esteem and lack confidence in one or more areas of his or her life. For example, I know that given a certain amount of training for any particular task, I may be able to build confidence in achieving that task. On the other hand, I may be given all the training in the world and never be able to develop a level of confidence for performing the task. But that wouldn't prevent me from doing it or gaining experience. In other words, I'm a fine person whether I can perform the task or whether I'm unable to perform the task. That's a person with self-esteem. What is self-worth? There are a lot of self-words, self-feeding, self-will in the dictionary. The Webster dictionary I used didn't even have the word self-worth listed. However, self-wrong is listed. There is a lot to be discovered about self-worth. In fact, in my career of over 20 years, during which time I worked with several thousand clients and conducted trainings with hundreds more, when asked, not one person had ever told me that they felt they had a healthy level of self-esteem or self-worth. Self-worth is what makes you feel good about yourself. What gives you a level of okayness with yourself? A level of acceptance with yourself. Peace of mind and prosperity are some of the ingredients in self-worth. In part one of this program, I will lay a foundation for the suggestions to build self-worth. And in part two are the hypnosis and the suggestions to build your self-esteem and self-worth. Part three on the second CD is about learning to be your own best friend and manage the disappointments that otherwise could erode your self-esteem. Part four has the hypnosis and the suggestions for becoming your own best friend and handling stress effectively. For the first week, I suggest you listen to parts 1 and parts 2 at least once each week in the awakened state. Additionally, listen to part 2 every night as you drift off to sleep. In the second week, listen to parts 3 and 4 at least once each week in the awakened state and go to sleep with part 4 each night. In the third week, repeat the instructions for week number 1. However, every night as you go to sleep, take turns using parts 2 and parts 4. In the fourth week, repeat the instructions for week number 2 and again take turns between parts 2 and 4 as you go to sleep. Use this program as instructed for a minimum of 30 days and you'll find that soon you'll be feeling better about yourself every day. And really, to get the most out of this program, after you've worked with it for 30 days, put it away for a month or so. Then listen to it again. I guarantee that it will have a different meaning to you. For you see, when you first begin working with it, you'll get out of it what you expected to find. The second time you work with it, you'll begin to get my intentions, and then by the third time, say a year from now, as you listen, you'll say, "But I didn't hear that before." Aha! For then you'll truly begin to live the experience of building self-worth. Let me begin by relating John's story. John almost lost every ounce of self-worth he had. It started when John went to see a psychologist to enhance his self-esteem and self-image. John was 28 years old and felt that he was losing ground. This feeling of losing out contributed to his level of anxiety, which made him tense and irritable. Now, John's psychologist devised a program for him to overcome low self-esteem and build self-worth. Based on what he learned about John, he felt that if John were to acquire technical training to develop a skill, it would make him feel better about himself. John agreed and enrolled in a program to become a machinist. Even though everything he was shown in class made sense, when it came to test time, his level of anxiety interfered with his ability to obtain passing grades. He was in jeopardy of failing when he was referred to me. The psychologist's approach was typical. Accomplish something, acquire something, and you'll be building self-esteem. Yes, it's the typical approach used in 100% of all the programs for overcoming low self-esteem. You should overcome low self-esteem by getting better at something. Unfortunately, this can be a catch-22 approach, a setup for failure. I'm not saying that everyone who uses this approach fails to accomplish the goal of acquiring a skill or educational level, but this approach does not build self-worth or self-esteem. It can be a setup for failure. Yet most of your friends, family, and acquaintances have been building self-esteem based on their accomplishments and acquisitions. Why is it a potential danger? You've seen the headlines. The person who overcomes low self-esteem and builds it largely on his fortune, he often commits suicide when his portfolio is lost and the stock market crashes. If he builds his self-worth on the love of his life, he becomes depressed when she acquires a life-threatening illness, and within 2 years of her passing, he himself dies, even though he was in fine health prior to her passing. If he builds self-worth on his position in life, he often becomes depressed and acquires a life-threatening disease within 2 years of his retirement and dies. If he builds self-worth on his social contacts and accomplishments, he may develop anxiety and panic attacks when he moves to another part of the country. If he builds self-worth on his physical skills, he has a greater chance of getting seriously depressed and likewise may acquire a life-threatening disease when he has an incapacitating accident or is replaced by a younger, stronger athlete. We can go on and on. Truth is that those who build self-esteem based on an accomplishment or an ability, their physical appearance, feel good about themselves for as long as their skills, abilities, and accomplishments remain intact. However, when their skills, relationships, accomplishments change, they often lose themselves in the process. Is this self-worth? Not really. It's things worth, not self-worth. In the face of all adversity and loss, the person who truly has been building self-esteem does not lose him or herself. Sure, he may be challenged, but ultimately, by knowing his or her true value, is able to adapt and change to all life circumstances and redefine him or herself. Back to John. It was indeed a challenge to get John out of his failure path, more so because the psychologist set him up for failure. The psychologist actually set a path for him to stay stuck with low self-esteem. Eventually, he got up over the hill and over the crest, so to speak. He learned to overcome his low self-esteem not by graduating machine shop school, even though he did, but by learning to deal successfully with disappointments and to like himself regardless of his disappointments, which is what this program is about. To understand how to build self-worth, let's study those who you grew up with. Let's study your parents. Begin writing down how they built their self-worth. Did you emulate them? I know you're resistant to writing and taking notes, and it's your choice. I often suggest making notes because the more senses you utilize, the more effective the learning process. Instead of only the auditory sense, you can multiply the effect of the program by using your tactile, visual, auditory, and sense of sight. Go back in your memory to when you were young. What gave your parents a feeling of okayness with themselves? Did they feel good about themselves when they were happy? Did they like themselves or have self-esteem when they were angry or frustrated? Or when they felt depressed or rejected? What contributed to their self-worth? Answer this question by making a list on a sheet of paper. List as many sources as you can remember. Please turn off the recording until you've completed the list. Okay, how'd you make out? Let's make this a real study and make a similar list for some other relatives, perhaps an uncle or an aunt, and then choose others that you have emulated as you've grown up. Other relatives, or teachers, or neighbors, or peers. In fact, each time you listen to this recording, choose a different person and add it to your previous list. Okay, let's look at today. Is there a difference in how these people get their self-worth today compared to when you were a youngster? Please turn off the recording until you've completed this comparison. Let's again look at your list. From where do your friends and relatives get their self-worth and self-esteem? How many get their self-worth from their accomplishments, or how well they do things, or from what other people think of them? Or what they think other people think of them. Now there's a difference. How one perceives how others think may be totally different from how others actually do think. Does anyone get self-worth from having others' agreement, In other words, maybe your mother has to have her mother's agreement in order to handle everyday situations and feel good about herself. Grandma rules. Does anyone get his or her self-worth from having goals or a purpose in life? Some people get their self-worth from material things. Their bank accounts, real estate, stock portfolios, or their collections, antiques, coins, and so on. Some get their self-worth from always being right about things. They have an extreme need to be right, or how good a parent they are, or how good a husband or wife they are. Some get self-worth from their ability to help or give to others, or from their physical appearance, or their talents, or their physical abilities, or who they know, or their ability to solve problems, or what they know. In the Overcome Life Crisis program, which dovetails with this program, we discover that many people get their identity from what they do in life, which can ultimately lead to a life crisis. They become extremely devoted to what they do, and this extreme devotion leads to sacrifices, and ultimately when their relationships, accomplishments, talents, skills, and so on are lost, then they lose themselves. This invariably is because their self-esteem is also tied in with what they do.